Hi friends, this is Dr. Ralph Wilson with the Jesus Walk Bible Study Series. We're studying 28 Advent Scriptures, and this is Day 18, Image of the Invisible God, Colossians 1, 15-20. Welcome to Wednesday of the third week of Advent. Let's pray. Lord, as we shift gears here and look into Paul's writings, open up our hearts to who really this is who was born to us. Lord, expand our hearts, expand our minds. Help us to see your glory. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. There's a popular Christmas song that I really like. Mary, did you know that your baby boy would one day walk on water? Is the Lord of all creation, is the great I am. Mary looks into the face of her newborn. What does she see? She has also heard of the angels' announcements and prophecies regarding this little boy, that he is the promised Messiah. But it is nearly impossible to really grasp who Jesus Christ is in all his fullness. Paul's letter to the Colossians gives us a glimpse. Our passage contains two parts. First, seven different cameos that highlight various aspects of Christ's supremacy. And second, an explanation of how God fulfills his promise through Christ. Cameo 1, Colossians 1:15. He is the image of the invisible God. We're given two contrasting concepts, image and invisibility. An image is something you can see. Invisibility, by definition, describes what you can't see. The great glory of Judaism was its belief in the one God who could not be seen, the only God. Jesus declares, John 4:24, God is spirit. Romans 1:20, God's invisible qualities is eternal power and divine nature. 1 Timothy 1:17, now to the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only God. Hebrews 11:27, Moses persevered because he saw him who is invisible. The amazing truth of Christianity is that the invisible God has allowed himself to be seen in Jesus of Nazareth. Cameo 2, firstborn over all creation. I'm reading verses 15 to 16. He is the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. All things were created by him and for him. This verse uses the Near Eastern concept of firstborn, referring to the special status accorded to the firstborn son. Firstborn over all creation here doesn't mean that Jesus is the first created being, but that he is preeminent over all created beings. Jesus is the firstborn over all creation, the sum total of everything created. But the author isn't talking about the fauna and flora of the earth so much as sentient beings, both human beings and spiritual beings. Angels and archangels, even Satan, the fallen angel, and his demons, once angels themselves, are created by Jesus, and he vanquishes them. This passage ends with the words, all things were created by him and for him. Jesus is not just one among various spiritual authorities. He is the creator of them all, and they exist to serve him. Cameo 3, before all things. He is before all things, verse 17. This passage teaches the pre-existence of Christ. He is not just a human, nor a created being himself. He predates everything. Cameo 4, Colossians 1:17. In him all things hold together. Jesus is not just the clockmaker who creates the timepiece, sets it in motion, and then leaves. He is the one who continually sustains it and holds it together despite all the forces, both subatomic and macro, that might blow it apart. Cameo 5, verse 18, he is the head of the body, the church. The emphasis here is on Christ's vital connection to and authority over the church. We are Christ's body here on earth and serve under his direction. The point is that Christ not only has priority over the principalities and powers, he is the supreme head of the church itself. Cameo 6, the beginning, verse 18. In addition to the concept of Christ's pre-existence, he is before all things, Paul emphasizes Christ as the beginning. Verse 18, he is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. Christ is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. Cameo 7, he is the firstborn from among the dead, verse 18. In verse 15, firstborn was used in the sense of primacy due to birth order. Here, the idea of birth order itself is in view. Jesus is firstborn from among the dead here and in Revelation 1:5, in the sense that he is the first to be resurrected from the dead. His resurrection from the dead encourages us that we too will be raised at his coming. He is our hope. Christ's sevenfold distinctives outlined in this passage culminate with a purpose clause, verses 18 and 19, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him. Christ holds the highest rank of all, above any person or any spiritual power in all creation. Jesus isn't given these distinctives to make him preeminent. Rather, these distinctives demonstrate his preeminence. He is in first place, and in him all God's presence, fullness, completeness dwells. Finally, we see the purpose of Christ coming to earth, and it involves the cross, verse 20. For God was pleased through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. Reconciliation means to end the state of conflict and enmity between parties, and in its place, reinstitute peace and friendship. God seeks to reconcile all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven. We see this restated in Ephesians 1:10, to bring all things in heaven and on earth together under one head, even Christ. Mary, did you know that this baby of Bethlehem is destined to reconcile all of creation to God in his own body on the cross? That this baby is God incarnate, the image of the invisible God? If you ever wonder if Christmas is about family time, a big meal, and the exchange of gifts, you've grossly underestimated its purpose. God's purpose in Christmas is to begin his mission to draw all mankind to himself through Christ. That's what this baby is all about. Discussion question 18, based on Colossians 1:15-20. Which of Christ's qualities of preeminence and greatness is especially meaningful to you today? What does it mean for Jesus to humble himself? Why is the incarnation such a miracle? Let's pray. Thank you, invisible Father, for sending your Son as a human baby with a destiny to bring us to you. Thank you that he was willing to lay aside his preeminence and humble himself even to death, that he might save us. Thank you. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen.